Welcome to Huntsville First Church of the Nazarene. Today, Pastor Scott Lowry is bringing the teaching to you. So open up your Bibles and listen in.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua. Okay, it's right before Judges and Ruth. Some of you have not read in Joshua for a while. This Memorial Weekend, I don't think in the 10 years that I've been here that I've really ever ordered a message related to this national holiday. It is suspected that Memorial Day began with families of the Confederacy decorating their graves, and that it went on and became a national holiday. And it's a time that specifically is set aside to give thanks for those who gave their lives in service of our freedom. And so one thing I would like to do is acknowledge, number one, how many of you are related to someone who lost their life in service to our country? Is there anyone here like that? Would you stand, please? I want you to stand. And then, in addition to these folks, I'd like for you, if you have ever served in any branch of the armed forces, if you would stand, please. And I want us to give thanks for every one of you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for your service. And I say that wholeheartedly. We find it difficult at church sometimes to, on days like this, the 4th of July, these kinds of holidays, we want to thank God for our freedom. We thank God for the country that we lived in. If you've ever been outside of it very long, you find that we are really, really a blessed people. And we have nothing to do with where we were born. Can I get an amen? And so, for those of you who were born into this land of freedom, we know nothing besides that, and we can tend to take it for granted. And it's important for us to understand that as we celebrate Memorial Day, we should be celebrating Memorial every day as believers, because the greatest memorial that has ever taken place in the world was when Jesus Christ allowed himself to be nailed to a cross on behalf of you and on behalf of me. And that memorial should be celebrated not just at Easter, not just celebrating when he came at Christmas, but it should be celebrated every day. Oswald Chambers says that if we wish to live a life of victory, we will live that life facing the cross every day. And so I think we ought to say thank you, God, for the greatest memorial that the world has ever known. Amen? Amen. Because you see, the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ is a freedom that goes beyond captivity. You can be in jail and still be free in Christ. You can be in chains and still be free in Christ. So this idea of memorial, actually, the mem of memorial, the memor, that's part of the word memory. There are so many times in the Bible that Jesus says, remember, or that God says, remember. And then one of the last things that Jesus said in his physical ministry on earth was, do what? Do this in remembrance of me. And what I would like for us to do is I would like for us to go way back to a time when God gave instruction to Joshua, gave instruction to these folks, and I would like for us to think a little bit about how that might apply to us. So as we consider Memorial Day, we're reminded of the incredible sacrifice of humanity, the incredible sacrifice of Jesus. And as we read here in Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. The stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." In the future, he said, when your descendants ask the fathers, "What do these stones mean?" tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. If you read chapter 3 of Joshua, you will be informed that the Jordan was at flood stage at that point. And so we talk about crossing over Canaan, but I'll tell you what, folks, listen. When the Jordan River, when the Red Sea was parted, okay, but the Jordan River was in flood stage and it stopped, it was parted too. Some of you have been in church for a long time and you didn't realize that there were two times that the water was parted and that the Israelites walked through on dry ground. Need to read this. There's good stuff in here. They're incredible. They're incredible acts of God. And so as we look at this, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the people of God have at long last entered the promised land. Just as it took a miracle to get them out of Egypt, it took a miracle to get them into Canaan. Just as God parted the Red Sea for Moses, he parted the Jordan River for Joshua. Both miracles happened so that each generation would know the Lord was with them in their time of need. Would you look at somebody? In fact, look at somebody you didn't come to church with. Turn around and say, "The Lord is with you in your time of need." Go ahead and tell him, "The Lord is with you in your time of need." Now, Di, I didn't say point your fingers at people. Okay. It scared you a little. Okay. And so with the Jordan River at flood stage, now listen to the import of this, okay? Why did God say, "Carry these stones"? Because he wanted the descendants to see them, and he wanted them to tell about what God had done. Do you suppose God wants us telling our children cool things that he's done? Do you suppose God wants us telling our grandchildren cool things that he has done, amazing things that he has done? And so then, this was a mighty miracle that was a moment to be remembered forever. Let me ask you this. How many of you, now I'm serious about this, how many of you have experienced a mighty miracle in your life? If you have, I want you to raise your hands. I'm serious. Everybody who's experienced a mighty miracle. The rest of you are not saved. You need to get right with God. Because the mightiest miracle is not a miracle of physical healing. Now, I just want to tell you, when I got news that Jason's lungs suddenly, from one day to the next, had no pneumonia in them, I'm saying, praise the Lord, answered prayer, hallelujah. And if I hadn't have been driving, I'd have kicked my leg. It was exciting. But do you know what's more exciting than that? Ladies and gentlemen, what's more exciting to that is when a person allows the miracle of God to work in their life and take an old, nasty, dirty, filthy heart and take the sin and cleanse it and send his spirit in, and then says, I'm not just going to leave you there, but I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to live in you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to empower you. That's a greater miracle than any physical healing in the world, because that is a forever miracle. God can heal us physically, but do you know what? The joints are still going to get old. A little hard for some of you guys to imagine. But others can say amen. Kind of an old-sounding amen, wasn't it? This was a mighty miracle of God to last forever. So why the stones? Setting up stones of remembrance. You know, when I was in youth ministry, one of the goals that we had, and it's still something that's a desire in every level of ministry, is that we would create memories, that God would use us to help create memories that could be drawn upon. And some of the great memories of my life involve things that God did. But how many of you have stones of remembrance? Can I see your hands? You've got stones of remembrance. You really do, but they look more like t-shirts. Let me just show you here. I have this stone of remembrance. That's when my brother won the state champion of champions in his race class, and he was track champion and state champion that year. That was pretty cool. Oh, I have one from the 2006 World Series when the Cardinals won the World Series. We need to pray for them now. The Cubs have just done so well. I've got another one. I happened to be in Italy when they qualified for a World Cup, and we had gone to the Holy Land, and I left my... Well, no, I didn't leave my Holy Land remembrance. Yeah, I guess I did. This is from Russia, when we went to Russia and put a road in for a children's camp. It's practical, too. And if you can read it, I'd love for you to tell me what that says. The letters look familiar, but some of them are turned backwards. This is from we did a work and witness trip, disaster response, crossroad. That's when we did the hurricane relief thing, and we went down into Mississippi and down there. We have these stones of remembrance, but they tend mostly to look like t-shirts. And we really kind of like, you know, if I used to wear this to physical therapy, and then somebody would say, oh, well, what was that about? And then I could tell them. We have people that will be coming back from Arizona, and they'll have things that they remember, and it's an opportunity to talk to people. How many of you have ever donated blood and you've been given a t-shirt? It's a stone of remembrance. It's something that you have that you can remember, and it's something that we talked about. It's something that you want to remember. It's something that it's a memory that you look back to. Well, when the Israelites got to Gilgal, they built a monument from those 12 stones. First, it was a teaching tool for future generations. Joshua knew the children could look at the pile of stones and say, what's that all about? And then we think about this visual evidence of a moment of God's movement. The last time I went on a sabbatical was probably 15 years ago. And I went back to the camp, Pinecrest Camp in Missouri. It's in Fredericktown, Missouri. And that's where God, really, that's where I gave it all to him. I'll be really honest with you. That's where I just gave it all. I didn't just give him the junk. I gave him whatever he could do with me. And then he began calling me to ministry there. And I've got a hat that I wear every summer. And on the front of it, it says Pinecrest Camp. And it's something when I put that hat on my head. Terry and I are going through mom's stuff. And I kept something yesterday that I really didn't need to keep, but I've got a thermos that mom's had for years and years and years. And when I use it, I'll remember her. I do some funny things of remembrance. I hope somebody brought banana pudding today. Did you really? You know, we didn't have much after Dad left. We didn't have much before he left. But when Mom got paid, we would go to Soulard Market in St. Louis, and Mom would buy bananas. And she'd buy vanilla wafers. And twice a month, during the season when we could go to Soulard, Mom would make banana pudding. And that was really a big deal. So no matter where I am, whether I need it or not, they picked a fine time to start making skinny stuff. Back when I could have used a skinny shirt, they weren't there. But I'll eat a little banana pudding. Tell you something else I'll eat. I'll eat beets. If I'm at a salad bar, I'll get one beet. I'm not crazy about it. My grandma canned beets. And when I take one of those beets, I think about a person that loved Jesus and loved me. Kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense to some people, but it touches me. And when I eat a bite of banana pudding today, if there's anything left when I go through, please. Let me just tell you, that's more enjoyable than the beets, okay? I'll just tell you right now. I'll think of Mom, and I'll give thanks. They put these stones out as a reminder. It was a reminder of the power of God. You see, God did amazing things to deliver those rascal Israelites. God has done something amazing to deliver you. And so it was to celebrate the power of God. Much happened while they were in Egypt. Much happened during the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And so in this process, celebrating the power of God, they're celebrating his deliverance. Because of disbelief and rebellion, all who were 20 years of age and older died in the wilderness, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. But I'm certain that there are those that remember the time of captivity after 430 years of dwelling in Egypt, much of that time enslaved and in bondage. God brought his people out with a mighty hand. Listen. Tell your story. Tell your story. Tell about when. Tell about where. What I want you to do this morning is I want you to think about, and I don't know if I've even, I don't have a copy of the handout up here, but what I want you to do is I'd like for you to take them, do you have two of them? Good. This Linda, she is just so efficient. It's Linda with a Y, by the way. Okay. I remember this about my deliverance, okay? I want you to write that down. I remember this about my deliverance. I'm going to ask you to pull out a pen. I'm going to ask you to. You say, well, I just don't take notes. I understand that. But I'm asking you today to make an exception, okay? I remember this about my deliverance. Now, the truth of the matter is, listen to me. If you're here today and you would say, I have not been delivered, I want to tell you some incredible news that right here, right now, where you are, if you are in need of deliverance, and you've got this sense in your heart, I want you to know right now, if you are sorry for your sin, you can confess and say, God, I'm sorry. I need your help. Come into my heart. And you can celebrate freedom on Memorial Day weekend like you've never known before. Can I get an amen? I remember this about my deliverance. And just put a little something in there, okay? You see, why the stones? Well, they wanted them to see the power of God. The stones were to remind them of the power of God. They were to remind them of his deliverance. They were also to remind him, to remind them of his guidance. I think I'm going to have to face this way. God directed me, ... I just invite you today to fill it in. God directed me, ... Can you remember a time of his direction? We had sang a song a few Wednesday nights ago, and I asked people to talk about when they were saved. I would like one person to stand right now and tell us what you remember about your deliverance, when he delivered you from sin. Just one person. I want to ask you to stand and tell us clearly and quickly about your deliverance. Okay? Not everybody at once. Who'll do it? Who'll give testimony? Are you safe? Go ahead.
I remember it was during a conference we had for my youth group. And I remember for the longest time I was kind of just, really just seemed like I was pretending to go along with everything. But I remember that one night when, you know, after all the songs and everything, my friend went up there who was, a youth pastor. He went up there to with all the other youth pastors for people to come, you know, help them out. I remember sitting there and just something was struggling inside my heart, and I didn't want to, you know, go up there alone. But I remember seeing him up there, and I went up there to talk to him. It was one of those moments where I felt most free in my life, and I went up there and talked to him, and we prayed together. And it was in that small little moment where it was just me and him, and we were praying. And I was bawling my eyes out because it's the first time I've ever experienced love in my life. That somebody's hand was on my shoulder. And I didn't know it was a person, but in that moment I felt that it was God's presence and his hand laying on me saying, "You're going to be okay."
Amen. Is that cool? Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. That's exciting. That's exciting. Okay. His guidance. Somebody, you know clearly that God directed you somewhere. You've heard so many of my stories. Quickly.
Yeah, I was, out of my dad's backyard, and a butterfly come over. And man, I mean, ever since then, it's been awesome.
Amen. Holy Spirit been working on you, and he sent you a sign in a butterfly. Anybody else ever have a butterfly land on your nose and God used it? Was it your nose?
No.
Your shoulder. Okay. Okay. That's cool. God can use any sign that he wants to use. How about a time when you know he led you? There's a time that he led you and you know that he led you. Somebody, quickly. Yes, sir.
Got a job in St. Louis, but I was going to stop and visit some friends in Huntsville. And so I was getting a truck. We knew we wanted to live in Huntsville, but I didn't have a job here. So I was sitting at the kitchen table Saturday morning going, where do I get that truck? Do I get the truck to go to Huntsville? Do I get it to go to St. Louis? And just like somebody spoke to me, in my head I hear, why would you get it to go to St. Louis when you know you're going to Huntsville? And so I just did it. I came here, been here ever since.
Amen. That's great. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. Clear leadership. Clear leadership. Anybody else? Just a time that you know beyond any shadow of doubt that he led you. That he led you. Anybody? This isn't just for people in full-time Christian service. Yes, sir.
Earlier, I had gone to a job interview And the people, the guy that was supposed to interview me wasn't even there. Somebody else took me around and showed me the place and said, you know, we'd love to hire you, but, you know, you don't have the experience. And we can't do it. And I'm not even sure why you got an interview. But I felt so strong that that was the job God had for me. When I was told I was going to be laid off, I was sitting there working and praying. Within 30 minutes, I got a phone call. They were supposed to keep my application on file for 6 months. For some reason, they couldn't find anybody at this place. 2 years later, they called me and said, we want to hire you. I kind of felt like God was leading.
Amen.
I kind of knew I was supposed to take that job.
Amen.
And his faithfulness and his timing is something that's just amazing.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that great? I want you to understand that these remembrances, these are things that God has done. These are milestones. These are things that we need to remind those who are following after us about, you know. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. His provision, the stones were to remind them of the power of God, to remind those of the future generations that God provided. You know, he gave guidance, he also provided. Where God guides, he does provide. And so as we look at his provision, it's just pretty amazing. He gave them food. It was something called manna. And how many of you know what the word manna means? Can I see your hands? You know what it means? It means what is it? No, it means what is it? Literally in Hebrew, that's what manna means. It means what is it? They say, well, what have you been eating? Say, I've been eating some what is it? I remember some lunchroom thoughts along those lines where I think I had some manna when I was in college. Yeah, I had some manna. I had some what is it? In Exodus 16, 14 through 50, when the dew was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing. It was a round little loaf there on the ground, Exodus 14 and 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said, it is... what is it? They didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which God has given you to eat. So then, literally, manna means what is it? Moses said, let's call it bread. Okay? This is what God has given you to eat. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in a position where you really didn't even have food, but I do know some people that have looked through the cushions to find enough coins to buy a pizza. Most of you have never been there, but some of us have, okay? So God provided for them, giving thanks and saying, God provided. You went through a hard time. You went through a wilderness. This was a terrible, difficult time in many, many ways. Did God abandon them? No. Was it easy? No. But he did provide. He provided them food. He provided them clothing. Find Deuteronomy 29:5. Would you do that, please? This is really kind of an interesting reminder. And it fits right in with an announcement that we have tonight, or today. He said, during the 40 years, God is speaking, that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. 40 years! And they didn't have Vibram at that time. It's an amazing thing. It really is. And we tend to look at these things, think, oh yeah, you know, that's pretty cool. Listen, I'll just share this one with you, okay? We had made a pledge to a building pledge. It was the only discretionary money that we had. We had a kid in college and another one in the institute, and it was the only discretionary pledge that we had. And suddenly our transmission quit shifting. And it was just, we did not have money for a transmission. And I'm telling you, God healed our transmission. This, I know it sounds silly, and you can look at me and you say, those are mechanics, it's physically, it's not possible. I'm telling you right now that when we sold that Buick, the transmission shifted perfectly, and I may not have had a warranty with it. but it was repaired. Amen. We've seen some things happen along the way. His provision, God's protection. Time doesn't even begin to permit the verses in the Bible that deal with God's hand of protection upon His people as they journeyed through the wilderness. These were people who had been enslaved in Egypt. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have any means of defense. But what happened? God sustained them. You know what I believe one of the interesting things about heaven is going to be? I think we're going to find out times that you thought that it was all messed up because, let me just say it this way, because your husband was running late. How often does that happen? Because somebody was running late. And then find out that had you been on time, you very possibly could have been at a place. I believe that there are times that we're protected. I believe that there are times that God is looking out. I've seen it happen with churches. I've seen it happen with church finances. I've seen it happen in our life personally. And then there are times that I don't believe that we even know. So my question to you this, has God been good to you in your life? I just want you to turn and ask someone, has God been good to you? Just ask them. Just go ahead. Ask them, has God been good to you? Would you do that? How many of you received an answer, yes? Did you hear the word yes? Yes, He has. Okay, now tell them how He was good to you. Go on, tell them. Tell them, this is how He was good. Now, husbands, don't do this whole schmoozy. He gave me you. Okay? Let's cut the schmooze here, all right? We're going for the easy answers, okay? Oh, honey, you know He gave me you. He's so sweet. No, He just couldn't think of anything else to say, okay? Has He not blessed us? Listen. Ask Charles Keffer how he's doing. What's he going to say to you? There you go. Better than I deserve. Can we just take a little bit of a time out here for a moment and acknowledge? Maybe it's been rough. Maybe it's rough right now. But can I just remind you for a moment that He's been better to you than you deserve? He sure has the world been better to me than I deserve. Do you think it'd be okay on this Memorial Weekend Sunday for us to just stop for a moment and say, you know, Jesus, I wouldn't have done what You did for me. I just want to thank You. Let's just bow our heads together and let's just give Him some thanks. In fact, let me tell you, I'm going to ask you to get it really weird today. I'm going to ask you to speak out loud to Jesus. Everybody at the same time, we'll count three. And I want you to say, I want to thank You. And let's just start thanking Him. And I'm going to turn off my microphone and I'm going to do that. And I just want you to do what we would call sometimes a symphony or a chorus of praise. I'm just going to ask you, on three, just start saying out loud things that you thank Him for. And then something interesting is going to happen. Okay, one, two, three. Jesus. As we praise You, Father, we sense Your presence. You tell us You inhabit the praise of Your people. We say these things out loud, Lord, because we want the enemy to hear that we're thankful to Jesus Christ. We're thankful to You, Lord, for Your hand of provision, for Your guidance in our lives. Be glorified. Help us to be more thankful than fretful. I pray, Jesus, in Your name, amen. He's been good to us. His patience. Consider how many times the people murmured and complained in the wilderness. How many of you know a murmurer? All eyes on me. A murmurer. I haven't talked about it in a long time, but the church that we were in at one point in time, there was a person that when that person walked down the hall, people would find other rooms to go into. This dear soul had the gift of murmur. And if there was anything that could be murmured about, this dear soul would murmur about it. How many of you want to be remembered as a murmurer? I didn't think so. His patience, okay? His abundance, just as he delivered them out of Egypt. Can you remember what happened when they were leaving Egypt? The Egyptians were saying, well, here, take this, take this, take this. And the Israelites were actually bogged down in everything that they had been blessed with. And by the time they got to, by the time they crossed over Jordan and they got into the Canaan land, do you know the estimates are that there were approximately, there were over 2 million of them, plus all their animals and everything? Do you know how many that is? If you take the stadium at the University of Tennessee, which is one of the largest, or the University of Michigan or Michigan State, can't remember which one it is, over 100,000 people, you fill that thing 20 times. Have y'all ever been in a traffic jam? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Coming across the wilderness, you just got to try to get a picture of how incredibly big, powerful, and mighty this God of ours is. Okay, so what does he do? The stones were to remind them of his presence, the presence of God. The presence of God rested upon the ark. Okay, Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the stream. Take every man a stone upon his shoulder. He said to do this. The ark of God, the presence of God rested upon the ark. It was kept in the Holy of Holies behind the veil. And it was there where God's presence dwelt. And his presence dwells in us today. So it's the presence of God. We have the privilege today. We have the privilege today of having the presence of God in our lives. That's why Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away. And so we've experienced the Lord's presence. I sensed the Lord's presence as you were praying here a while ago. I sensed the Lord's presence as we were praising earlier. I sensed the Lord's presence as we were praying here around the altar. The truth of the matter is, we are blessed with the presence of God. Being near the ark assured closeness to God's Spirit. We don't have to be beside something physical. We can sense the presence of God in an ICU trauma unit. I tell you, I was so amazed. My daughter came walking out. The doors opened. She had tears running down her face. Her head was lowered. And there was a black family there that their son had had an accident the night before Jason had. The girl jumped up and she ran over and she said, oh, boo. They call people boo sometimes in South Carolina. Oh, boo, she said. Don't give up. And she walked over and she put her arm around her and said, no, you're not going to claim that. And about that time, the boo pronouncer's mom got up. And she came over and she said, oh, no, honey, we're not going to claim that. And then about that time, somebody else got it. It didn't matter what color. People gathered around and there we are. We've got our arms around each other in the ICU waiting room. And we've got people praying. And I just want to tell you right now, in the midst of your Jordan, you're not alone. In the midst of the Jordan, said, take these rocks out of the middle of the Jordan. It'll remind you of where you've been. It'll remind you of what you've gone through. The stones were to remind them of the presence of God. He was near them in the midst of the Jordan. I'd like for you to just think for a minute about a time when you went through a really, really hard time. And you can't explain it, but there was a peace that you had in the middle of that time. And you just want to write down on your paper there and say, Lord, thank you that you were there when. And just take a moment. Take a moment. I just want to apologize to you concrete sequential learners. I know that I've left some blanks out today. God protected me when? There we go. I am most aware of his presence when? Okay. God was near in the middle. Good. I think we gave them all to you. Okay. I've read recently that in 50 years, nobody's going to remember that you lived. That's a bright thought, isn't it? In 50 years, but over the next 49 or whatever, I want to ask you this question. How would you like to be remembered? How would you like to be remembered? And I have there on your piece of paper, I think, a fill-in that says, I would like to be remembered as a person who... How would you like to be remembered? I have a hard time talking about some people. My grandma, my junior high Sunday school teacher. It's kind of interesting, the people that we remember who have made an incredible impact upon our lives are very seldom the people who are standing on the stage and have the spotlight on them. But it's more commonly people who spent time with you. It's more commonly people who did something with you. It's more commonly people who were there. I would like to be remembered as a person who...